We'd like to turn today to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first two verses today in Matthew chapter 2. Today we're going to talk in depth about the wise men and how they came to know the things they did know. And then tonight you can come at 6:30 and learn more about the star that they saw. And so let's read these first two verses in Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem," which actually Bethlehem means house of bread, "and Jesus said, I am the bread of life." Good place for somebody that's the bread of life to be born, the house of bread. Amen. "And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came three wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now these wise men were actually astronomers. We want to stay away from the word astrology, because that's not of the Lord. When you look at horoscopes and things, that's baloney, salami. Good. I know some of you know that. Okay, so we want to steer clear of that for sure. But they gazed into the heavens. They actually looked at constellations, Virgo, the constellation Virgo, is about the Virgin. And you can actually see the whole story of Jesus Christ in the constellations, in the stars. There's a whole book on that that's just fabulous that Sherry and I went through. But not time to talk about that today. But these wise men were from the east, and it's from the far east, from the area of Iraq, Iran, the old Persian Empire where Esther was, and Babylon in Iraq. This kind of areas where they were from, and there's good reason for that. They actually here in verse 2 then come with much knowledge that is kind of shocking at first to see how much they know about someone that's born king of the Jews and not the king of the Far East kind of thing. And they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." Now, how in the world did they know that this star was the star for the king of the Jews? This is the days when there was no internet. You couldn't just get on the internet and say king of Jews or whatever. And so they were living in a faraway place. And how they know this? And then it says, "For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, why in the world for somebody from another country other than Israel want to come and worship a baby that is being raised to be the king of the Jews? Good question. And so we want to look at the answer to these things today in the book of Daniel. Because these men had a connection with Daniel, the prophet, in the Bible. And as we read the things in Daniel, as we're going to go through the book of Daniel this morning, of course not reading every word, but some of these prophecies that these men had exposure to, and why did they have the confidence in this book of Daniel to give it such weight that they would actually travel all that way with this information? Well, there's a reason for that too, and it's all found in the book of Daniel, which was written 500 years before Jesus was born, actually a little over 500 years. So let's do that. Let's go to chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 32. Chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 32. Daniel, actually with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were princes actually in Israel, and captured by the Babylonians in 606 BC with 10,000 others, and taken to Babylon. And they were in the course of time given positions of wise men in the kingdom to actually be able to go ahead and help the king make decisions. because they were raised with royalty and they proved themselves to the king to be very smart. There was another captivity in 597, and then in 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar actually went and destroyed Jerusalem. And Daniel was very concerned about that, of course, but he was reading the prophet Jeremiah, who told him that they would be just in captivity for 70 years and then be brought back, and that the city would be rebuilt again. And there was many prophetic things said about the eventual king that would rule forever in his book. Now, as he was then a part of the Magi, part of the wise men of Babylon to be called upon by the king had a dream. And the dream freaked him out. He was troubled, the Bible says, over this dream. And so he called all of the wise men together and said, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and what it means. And they said, oh, king, live forever. We don't know what you dreamed. Tell us what you dreamed and we'll tell you the interpretation of the dream. And that made total sense to a reasonable person, but the king got really mad. He said, if you don't tell me what I dreamed and what it meant, I'm going to kill you and all your relatives, and your houses will become like dung hills. Well, they immediately just went into Freakazoid City, of course, so you're going to die in the morning kind of thing. But Daniel said, wait a minute, I'm going to go ask God. And he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his buddies from Israel, to pray also. And they prayed, and God told Daniel what the king dreamed and what it meant. And so here's the dream, verse 32 of Daniel 2. There was this image, and it had a head that was gold, and the breast of the image and his arms were silver, and his belly and his thighs were brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw till that a stone was cut out without hands and smote the image upon the feet. This stone comes and lands on the feet of this image. And it says then, it goes on to say, the iron and so forth and the clay and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together. And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, as we go through the book of Daniel, we begin to understand that these are nations, and King Nebuchadnezzar is told that he's the head of gold. He's a very powerful king. He rules most of the known world there except China, and he is the head of gold. And then the silver, the breast and the arms of silver, was the Media-Persian Empire, which would take over Babylon in one day in 539 BC. And we have Esther coming to this kingdom and being the queen of the kingdom, Medes in the Persian kingdom, the Persian Empire. And you know that Esther means star. Esther means star. And that's kind of a neat thing to think about there. We go ahead and then they have the thighs of brass. And this is Alexander the Great, conquered the world by age 32, about 300 BC, conquered the Medes and the Persians, and was a world ruler at that time. He conquered Egypt and all through the land. So there you go. So this is Greece. Then the Grecian Empire, the Greek culture. Then we go down to the legs, and we get Rome, the iron hand of Rome. And then the bottom kingdom, which is the last kingdom that will be upon the earth, that's the kingdom of Antichrist. And it's the feet mixed with iron and clay, kind of pointing to the fact that this will be the revived Roman Empire, like the European Economic Community, with Antichrist rising up from there. There's been recent theories about Muslim nations being involved and so forth, and there's a lot of speculation there, which we really don't want to do any speculation today. But just to know, this last kingdom will be, and there'll be a world ruler called Antichrist. At that time, this great stone, the chief cornerstone of the building of God, because we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We had this a couple of weeks ago. Well, this stone is cut out, and this stone comes and hits the bottom of this giant image in the dream. And all the kingdoms crumble to pieces. And so the greatness of King Nebuchadnezzar, which is in ruins today in Iraq, on down to even to Antichrist, will be destroyed. And this stone, who is really Jesus Christ, as we know, the stone that the builders rejected, we are built upon the rock, a rock that doesn't roll, because he's going to reign forever and ever. And so his kingdom is established like a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. And of course, Daniel then brought the interpretation. Let's begin to read in verse 44, Daniel chapter 2. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left, not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw the stone which was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter in the future. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. He was not saved yet, Nebuchadnezzar. He gets saved in chapter 4 of Daniel. He wasn't saved yet, and so he is misunderstanding and begins to worship Daniel. But Daniel gave all the glory to God. He said, there's a God in heaven that can interpret dreams. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Now remember, the wise men, the magi, the astronomers are all watching this. And here their great king, King Nebuchadnezzar, fell on his face and worshiped Daniel. What do you think these guys are thinking now about Daniel? Whoa, this guy's almost like Tim Tebow. He's amazing. And so the thing is that they begin to realize that this is somebody special here that has a great God that can save our necks. Because remember, they were going to be killed if they didn't come up with something. And so the Lord, speaking to Daniel, saved their very necks. And so these wise men in the Far East were really impressed. And they were impressed even more because it says in verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave many great gifts, made him the ruler over the whole province of Babylon, which is very big, had 120 provinces, and chief. Now grab this part. This is really important here. King Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And so Daniel becomes their boss. And because of the miracles they saw, they are really impressed, and they're going to listen to every single word that Daniel has to say. And don't you know, through the years, the magi, the wise men of the Far East, carried on this tradition with the stories of this great man that had a great God and that was able to bring King Nebuchadnezzar to his face. This great king that was ruler over all this business. And so you can see now how a Daniel would get credibility with the wise men, credibility. And so we go on. And now we want to picture ourselves as the wise men then through the years passing on traditions from their fathers about Daniel. And we're going to read some prophecies, some scriptures that Daniel wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that bring all this information that they needed to end up at Bethlehem to worship and bring gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so there you are. Now, with that said, let's turn to chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 13. Now, that was a dream that the king had. This is a vision that Daniel's given from the Lord. And he says, I saw in the night visions, verse 13 of Daniel 7, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Woo. Who called himself the Son of Man? Jesus, all through the New Testament, the Son of Man. The Son of Man has not come to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, that'd be the Father, and they brought him near before him. And what happens there is all recorded in Revelation chapter 5 about how the Lord God Almighty had a scroll in his hands. And nobody was found worthy to come and take the scroll out of the hand of the Father except Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so we have this prophesied right here in the book of Daniel, 500 years before Jesus was born. And so the Son of Man was brought to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near to the Father. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so the stone, the chief cornerstone, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, prophesied about to the Magi that this great kingdom is coming to all people and nations. And so then beginning to get the idea that this king would be also king of the Magi from the Far East, not just the Jews. And so they came to worship him. Where is he, this born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the East, and we've come to worship him. And so fulfilling this prophecy that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Now, in verse 22 of Daniel, we get something that we want to remember as we go through the rest of the book of Daniel when we get to chapter 12. This is an important point to remember. The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints. Whoa, who are the saints? That's us, that's the church. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So one day, as we even had last week, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We're going to be given, as the saints of God, a power given to us from the Lord to administrate the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, don't you know that you're going to judge the angels? I say, what? You're going to judge the angels. And that's not just the baseball team. That's the big guys that are 16 foot or whatever. And the guys that take care of these, the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus to administer to those that are heirs of salvation. And what that means, I have no idea, but it sounds kind of scary to just a human. But the Lord's going to make us perfect in every way. We'll never sin again, and we'll be ordained to really judge the angels. And then it says after that, even judge the world. We're going to help Jesus Christ administrate the kingdom. This is taught all through the Bible, right here prophetically. And Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, we're told. Definition of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy. prophecy is blessed of God. And so the saints of the Most High will come and will be given judgment there and possess the kingdom. Praise the Lord. That is where this begins in prophecy. So now, with that under our belts, these wise men that are reading Daniel religiously and taking him as gospel because of their great respect for him, studying the scriptures and the stars, looking into the stars and the constellations, these guys were given the exact timing of when this would all happen. Yes, God gives such perfect timing in this book that was written 500 years before Jesus was born, that the liberal scholars say that the book of Daniel was written after the fact. That's how perfect it is, the timing. Instead of just believing God, is anything too hard for God? All things are possible through the Lord. And so God actually laid it out beforehand to let us know that he knows exactly what's coming. And so whenever we read about end time scriptures, oh, we can just drink it in, and the Holy Spirit will be showing us things to come, and they will surely come to pass. Just like it said, this dream will surely come to pass. It is sure, Daniel said, and sure enough, these things are coming to pass. So now, let's go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, for the timing that was given to these wise men. As, again, we picture ourselves as the wise men reading these things. Chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 24. It says here, after the angel Gabriel was sent to answer prayers of Daniel's about what's coming for his people. He was concerned about his people Israel. He knew that in 536 they'd be going home, because Jeremiah the prophet had said that. He was reading Jeremiah, Daniel was. And so he prays. He knows the time's getting near. And he begins to pray, and he begins to seek the Lord and ask, Lord, what's going to happen to the people? What's the future hold? And so Gabriel was sent to tell him, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, which was done on the cross, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, the stone, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's say hallelujah together. Hallelujah. It's all true and it's all going to happen. But you see, the wise men are reading these things. Remember that now. Guys are getting educated big time. And so now we read here that it's going to be 70 weeks. Now the word week for week here, the Hebrew word, actually means 7 years. What does decade mean? 10 years. We know that. Everybody knows that. All the Hebrews knew that this word in the Hebrew meant 7 years. So you multiply 70 times 7 years, 70 weeks it says here. So it'd be 490 years. My calculator works really well, and it wasn't hard to figure this out. So 490 years are determined upon your people. Now, when does this 490 years start the counting? God wanted these wise men to know this. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar 586 B.C. When another king gives a command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince, the Lord Jesus, shall be 7 weeks, which is 49 years, and 62 weeks, that's 62, Yes, and 3 score and a score is 20. So 62 weeks more, which is 334 years. And so in that time, which totals to 483 years, or 173,880 days after the commandment comes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, the King, will enter Jerusalem. And he did, on a donkey. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, O Lord, thou Son of David. And he was praised and worshipped, and it is right that he was. The Old Testament prophesies about that, where it says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as he comes as King. Now, this is all given to them very specifically. And we have, and some say 444 B.C., and some say 445. I got 445 from Chuck Missler, that the commandment actually historically was given by King Artaxerxes of the Persian Empire, which would be the silver chest and arms on the image, gave the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem again. And so they started counting. Those wise men, those astronomers, that Magi group, started counting from there. Okay, it's going to be 483 years. It's going to be 173,880 days, and this king will come that we've been told about. And so the timing is given to them. Now, if I was a Magi, and you were Magi, and we had friends like Telstar and Bold Dash or whatever those guys' names were, you know, as wise men, we would be real serious about this. We are convinced that our first leader, Daniel, was a powerful, wonderful man anointed by God. And these truths are truth. We're going to watch. We're going to watch closely through the years, through the generations, until these things are accomplished. And so, what a blessing. And you can picture the wise men if you want. You know, there they are, and it's getting to be like 50 years before this date that is given very specifically in the book of Daniel. And they think, well, he's a man when he's the king, so he'll probably be born like 50 years before then, or maybe 40 years, maybe 30 years. We don't know, but we're going to look real close when we get close. So you can picture those guys every night and thinking, boy, I hope I'm the one that can see the sign, that can actually understand the time is here for that baby to be born that's going to be the king of the Jews, and yes, the king of the world forever. And so they begin to look up. And maybe one of them one night sees like a comet go by, or maybe a satellite. No. That comes with the internet. But anyway, and just might see, oh, hey, Balthazar, get over here, man. Look at this. And he goes, no, that's not it. It can't be it. That's too small. Come on, relax, man, relax. It'll come, but we're just going to keep looking. And then one night, bam, this huge thing, it cannot be a mistake. The sign is given. These guys get so pumped. Can you imagine how pumped they got to discover his star in the east? Now, God speaks to us the way we can understand. He always does that. If you're Chinese and you only speak Chinese, God will speak to you in Chinese. Yes, he will. And you know, in the circumstances of life, like we had this testimony a couple weeks ago from Kim Walker, the girl that sang that beautiful song, you know, Oh How He Loves Us. And she stopped in the middle of her testimony and says, this is just how God speaks to me. This is who I am, and this is what I understand. I understand the box with the dancing girl, and that's who I am. And so God speaks to me that way. And so we accept that. Well, how would God speak to astronomers? Through the stars, ladies and gentlemen. That's their love language, and that's where they're looking. And you know, you might want to tell the Lord that your love language is money. No. We all have our love language. Well, they're looking at the stars, and they're just adoring the stars, and they love the constellations, and that's what they do every night. And you know, the Lord spoke to them. We've seen his star in the east. We'll go back to that subject in a minute, but let's go on. Now, after the 62 weeks, after the 483 years, the 173,880 days, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. When Jesus Christ was crucified, when he was cut off from this planet, and actually resurrected, then left 40 days later, but when he was cut off through the cross, it wasn't for himself, not for himself. He died for you, and he died for me on that cross. And the people then of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood or dispersion unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. In those days, in 70 AD, Titus of Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple again, just like Nebuchadnezzar. And this is prophesied that that would happen after Jesus was crucified. Jesus saw the women weeping as he was carrying his cross, and he says, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. And he was probably picturing in his mind, because he spoke about it right in that area, of what would happen to the city when Rome showed up in 70 AD. And it ended with a dispersion. All the Jewish people in 73 AD, after Masada, were dispersed throughout the known world. Rome had 60 million slaves in those days, and Israel just became part of that. And they did not appear back in the land again until the Zionist movement at the turn of the 20th century, 1900. And that's a really neat story, because there was this man that determined to reinvent, really, we can put it that way, the Hebrew language, because no one had spoken it for all those years. And he got together with his family, and they decided they would speak nothing but Hebrew in their home. And from that, today, when you go to Israel, they all speak Hebrew. And it's a beautiful language to listen to. God reinstituted the nation, 1948. And then actually their language had been being worked on since the turn of the century through this man. He's a hero in Israel. And so what God did is a blessing. But anyway, so this is prophetic about Jesus. Now, the Lord skips to the last kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist, in verse 27. And it says, he, that is Antichrist, shall confirm an agreement with many for 1 week. And here's our last week of 7 years to bring it to 490, which we got in the beginning of it. And it's all been unfolded here before us. And there's 7 years left. The prophetic clock stopped at 483 when Jesus came the first time, when Jesus comes again, and the area where Jesus comes again. And I do believe that at the beginning of the last 7 years, Jesus will take us in what we know is the rapture of the church. Thank God that I won't be around here for the 100-pound hailstones that will fall from heaven during the tribulation period. This is Jacob's trouble. Not Mark's. Jacob's trouble. The great tribulation period is coming. And so this is the week of Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, a seven-year period. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation or the end. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, we want to take this a little bit slower, but we will proceed. And here we have this seven-year period that he's got this agreement with the Jews. In the first part, he allows the temple to be rebuilt. You can go to Israel today to a place that's called the Temple Institute. And we visited there on one of our trips to Israel. And you can bring gold there. And so we brought some jewelry, from the different people that went on the trip from our church. And we took the jewelry to the Temple Institute to help them remake the things that Solomon built for the first temple, and they're working on the menorah. The thing that looks like this, seven lights, a big lampstand. Did I have that here the other day? I forget. No, that was with the kids. But anyway, this is a great big menorah there, and they have it there, and it's made out of gold. And our jewelry that we bought was used to be melted down and help repair the menorah to keep it so it's nice and smooth. And so what a blessing. Calvary Chapel Anaheim is going to be part of putting that menorah into the temple that the Jews will build. And I just think that's so exciting. Is that not exciting? Yes, that's exciting. And so that's going to happen. They actually have 200 priestly garments already prepared for when the priests begin their sacrifices and oblations after the temple is finished. But in the middle of that week, 3.5 years in, Antichrist is going to walk in to the temple of Almighty God and go to the Holy of Holies and put an image in there of himself and declare himself to be God. Oh man, is it going to get ugly after that? The Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, so Jesus confirms this verse to be about Antichrist, stand in the holy place, then get out of town. And if you're on a roof, don't even go down to get your stuff. Just move out. Just like in the days of Titus. A kind of a revisitation to that scripture. It's like skipping stone prophecy. It's fulfilled here and it's fulfilled in the future. And so this will actually happen as the abomination of desolation stands. And then Jesus says, there'll be tribulation on the earth, such as the earth has never seen, nor will ever see again. And one of my favorite things to share about that is I've already mentioned 100-pound hailstones. It says that each hailstone will weigh a talent, which scholars estimate at about 100 pounds. Now in Colorado, that's where Sherry and I just got back from, you can get some pretty good hail. And you can get hail that will actually break your windshield. Oh yeah. And that's why John was always, you know, careful to keep his car in the garage, because you could get some hail in Colorado Springs. But I want you to imagine with me a 100-pound hailstone hitting your car. It's like dropping your wife from the sky. Do you remember that old song? He took 100 pounds of clay. He made my life worth living. Anybody remember that song? Yeah, all the older people raise their hands. That was a song that was written and sung on the radio when I was in eighth grade. Yeah, but it's all about creation. They were still singing about creation, the top 40 in those days. Oh, Lord, those days. Anyway, so then came the hippie movement and everything went downhill fast. Oh, but the Jesus movement came out of the hippie times too. But the thing is this, 100-pound hailstone hits your car, it's history. You're going to have to go to the insurance company and say, I'm totaled, please work with me. It will be something to see. All of the oceans, all of the living creatures in the oceans, and all the ships of the oceans will be destroyed. It's just heavy to read through Revelation and what happens in those times. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. We're going to be up in heaven at that time with the Lord, having our honeymoon with Jesus. Praise God. And so this is prophesied about the Antichrist. Now, we are given more timing in Daniel chapter 12. So let's go there. And it's the last chapter in the book of Daniel. And verse 11. Verse 11 of Daniel 12. It says this, now from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So the Lord knows, if he doesn't shorten those days of that great tribulation, when Antichrist declares himself to be God and God pours out his wrath on the earth, Jesus Christ says everybody would be dead if he's days weren't shortened. And so he gives the number of days right here, big as life. Chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 11, 1,290 days, which is roughly 3.5 years, at the end of the second half of that 7-year period. Thank God that the people that be alive at that time will have this number to hang on to, probably Xing off the days. 1,289 days to go. That's kind of a long time, but you know, it's shorter than it could be. So praise God for that. And then it says in verse 12, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days, which is 45 days. But go your way until the end be, for you shall rest and stand in your lot. You're given allotment in the kingdom of God at the end of the days. And so the 45 days between when the Lord comes and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain is split in half, and there's a great new valley made, and there's a river that flows out from the top of where the temple is down to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea becomes alive, and you can go fishing there again. Today, if you go to the Dead Sea, it's the lowest part on the earth, you go into the water, and it's so filled with salt, and you can see salt everywhere, and if you look hard, you might find Lot's wife, because they have found Sodom and Gomorrah down in that area. But if you go into the Dead Sea, and we did this, you start bobbing like a cork. It's the most amazing thing because of the salt content. And if you lay on your back, you can put both feet in the air and both arms. It is really incredible. I heard a funny story about this, our group that just went to Israel, that Pete and Cheyenne actually did some synchronized swimming with their legs in the air, you know. And everybody cracked up, I heard about that one, so that sounds like fun. But this Dead Sea will become alive when the Lord Jesus returns. And so it is thought about here, and I like this idea, that those 45 days will be the time that Jesus puts the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left in this new valley that's formed right there in the area of Jerusalem. And he will say to the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. Another hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And we will enter the kingdom of the Lord. Well, he will rule and reign forever. The stone, the Son of Man, this great and mighty King. Praise God. Now, I want to show you one more verse here, chapter 12 of Daniel, verses 2 and 3. Now, I want you to imagine again, you're a wise man, and you're reading this, and this is really going to confirm where you are going to find your answer about when this king is born. You're going to see his star. Let's read. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament or the heavens. And they that turn many to righteousness, which will be the saints, which was mentioned in chapter 7, verse 22, many that turn many to righteousness, they're going to shine as the stars, forever and ever. Don't you know that these wise men, when they read that verse in the last chapter of the book of the great man Daniel, they probably had Holy Ghost goosebumps, thinking that's where we've been looking. That's our love language. That's what we do. And the saints that's talked about in ruling in the kingdom are going to shine like stars forever and ever. That's a sign, Balthazar. That's a sign. And so there they are looking and looking, and they find the star, and they come to see Jesus and bring him those gifts. So tonight, you can come back and learn about the star. This is where we leave off here and pick up tonight, right? So let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for these scriptures. We thank you for Daniel. Say hello to him for us, will you, Lord? Thank you for our brother. And, Lord, thank you for the influence. Wow, Lord, the influence that you used our brother so mightily to affect the whole wise man system in the East, in the Far East, and to bring these men to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking to us in our language. Lord, thank you for saying things to us that we understand. Lord, I think sometimes you even say, that's really cool, stuff that we know about and hear all the time. And so, Father, we just pray that you would continue to direct us. We want to be the wise men that still seek you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you, just give you a great day and a great week in Him, great Christmas, always remembering that really to shop for others is to shop for Jesus, because you're doing it for those, the least of these, His brethren. You've done it unto Him. It kind of helps you with the shopping stuff, you know. So the Lord bless you and keep you and keep you strong and moving in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.